السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه، ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما. نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد، كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصديقين وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين والخلص من أصحابه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. قال تعالى في كتابه الكريم، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. ولما رأى المؤمنون الأحزاب قالوا هذا ما وعدنا الله ورسوله وصدق الله ورسوله وما زادهم إلا إيمانا وتسليما. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Today is the 28th of the month of Safar. On such a day, on the year 11th of the Hijrah, on such a day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this lower life into the higher one. At the age of 63, the Prophet of Islam died on such a day, on the year 11th. Now it is year 1439. And the Prophet left behind a legacy. Every messenger of God, every prophet, when they leave, their legacy is not in corporations, companies, lands, buildings. They leave behind some material legacy, definitely. But their moral, ethical, spiritual legacy is much greater. This is what is important. The legacy that the Prophet left. And thus the Quran says, take him as an example in your life, as a role model in your life. If you want to respect and honor the Prophet, then he has to be a source of inspiration for you. He has to be your teacher, your leader, your mentor. When God speaks about the Prophet, he says, the sole reason that I sent you was to be a source of mercy. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Source of mercy for mankind, source of guidance, source of forgiveness. And therefore, the Prophet, he was well known for his forgiveness, for pardoning people who insulted him, they slandered him, they attacked his family, his community, his city. But still, despite these attacks on him, he was very willing to forgive and forget and embrace people. Many people killed members of his family. His uncle, the brother of his father, in one of the battles, the Battle of Uhud, not only he was killed, but his body was dismembered by the enemies. His body, Hamza ibn Abd al-Muttalib, the paternal uncle of the Prophet, was killed in the Battle of Uhud, and his body was cut into pieces. And the Prophet came and he saw him. He saw the body of his uncle being cut into pieces, decapitated. But then imagine this happened in the second year of Hijrah. In the eighth year, 6 years later after that, the Prophet went back to Mecca with an army of 10,000 soldiers, the most powerful army in Arabia. And he knew the murderer. The murderer was Abu Sufyan and his wife, Hind. He knew his house. It was very easy for this victorious commander to come and capture Abu Sufyan and then punish him for the crime that he committed, not only against Hamza, but against many Muslims in Mecca. When they were in Mecca, they were persecuted by Abu Sufyan. But the Prophet did not do that. The Prophet did not revenge the blood of his uncle. Instead, he said, "Man dakhala dara Abi Sufyan fahuwa amin." Today, if anyone takes refuge in the house of this man, Abu Sufyan, he has immunity, he has security, he is immune. So the Prophet not only punished him, but he honored him and respected him and he forgave him. It was easy for the Prophet to go and murder him. Some historians, they say Muhammad was forgiving when he was powerless, but he did not forgive when he was powerful. This is not right. This is not right. If you look at the history and the life of the Prophet, he was always, always forgiving. Always forgiving. The day that he did not have a single supporter, and a day that he had hundreds of thousands of supporters, he was a forgiving messenger. Because God says, "I sent you as a mercy, not punishment." Though they deserve punishment, they do deserve. Those enemies, the murderers, you can't set them free. They have to be punished. They have to face the law. But the Prophet came to show them God's mercy. He's the embodiment of God's compassion, love, and mercy. Therefore, he had to forgive them. Many of those Meccans who persecuted him in the beginning, who drove him out of his house and his neighborhood and his town. You know, the Prophet was born in Mecca, and he lived in Mecca for 50 years, half a century. But ultimately, Quraysh, the tribe that dominated Mecca, they had to drive him out of Mecca. And then he went to Medina. He stayed in Medina for 13 years until he died. But when he went back to Mecca victorious, he never punished anyone. He never punished any single person of those Meccas, the arrogant ones. Many of them are murderers. He did not punish them. He said, "Meccans, I am here today with this army. What would you think I can do with you? I can punish all of you. So what would you think I'm going to do?" They all said, "Akhun kareemun wabnu akhin kareem." We know you that being an honorable person, coming from an honorable family, so definitely what you're going to do with us is also honorable, not a tribal. Honorable. So he set them free while he was very powerful. Because he's the prophet of forgiveness. One of those murderers, he left Mecca, he ran away. He went to Jeddah. You know, Jeddah is on the Red Sea. And he decided to go to the sea and drown himself, commit suicide in the sea. Because he killed many innocent people and the Prophet is after him. The Prophet said, "No, I'm not. We are not going to chase him. Tell him to come back." So a person said, "I will go on and give him your message, but give me something tangible that when I talk to him, he believes me. He knows that I am your messenger. I'm taking your message to him. The Prophet said, the best thing I can give you is my turban. Take my turban and tell him this is the turban of Muhammad as a guarantee. He's not going to punish you if you come back to Mecca. Imagine, his turban is very holy. I myself, I would never give my turban to any one of you. Believe me, I would not do that. This is my heritage. I am proud of it. But the Prophet was willing to give his turban to someone who is a murderer. He's a thug and murderer, just to forgive him, bring him back to his family, to his community. This is the seerah, the tradition of our Prophet. Muslims have to learn forgiveness. What we need today, some Muslims think that we need to follow the Prophet in his dress, in his beard. No, it's not necessary. He doesn't want you to follow him in his hairstyle, in his beard, in his dress. He wants you to follow him in his manners, in his relationships, in his forgiveness, in his tolerance, in his respect for others. This is the true sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what is missing today in the midst of our communities. We have to be forgiving. We have to show God's mercy. We are all ambassadors of God, each and every one of us. We represent God on earth. So we have to show God's mercy to our families, to our neighbors, to mankind, to the humanity, through anger, through frustration, through threatening others. We cannot bring people to God. We will drive them further away from God, further away from religion. A father, a mother, a brother, a son, a neighbor, a president, they have to be forgiving. They have to speak nice to people. We all can threaten. We all have tongues and mouths. We all can say something bad. But imagine if people, they involved in these slandering each other, disrespecting each other. Would that be called a society, human society? Or that's a jungle? God does not want the earth to be a jungle. God wants the earth to be a human society, based on logic, based on compassion, based on love and respect, because we are guests here for a number of days and months, and then we leave. The second legacy of the Prophet, though the Prophet was from Mecca and from the tribe of Quraysh, and most of his tribe members were arrogant, most of them. But the Prophet, his heart was global. His mind was universal. He was not local. He was not ethnocentric. He was an Arab, but he never praised the Arab. He never put his community above other communities, never ever. Today in most modern democracies, they could not overcome this barrier, the barrier of racism. They could not overcome this barrier. Still, this exists, racism and racial strife still exists in America, still exists in Europe, elsewhere, even within democracies. But the Prophet was able to put an end to this because he was a role model. He was from the most prestigious family, the most prestigious city, a city which witnessed the building of the very first temple on earth. إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ مُبَارَكًا وَهُدًى لِلْعَالَمِينَ. City of Mecca, the most holy city. But then he was not arrogant. He was the most humble. And he was universal. And he followed a book where it says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. We have created you into tribes and nations and colors and cultures and languages. So you recognize each other. You respect each other. We have a tendency, We the humans, most of us, have a tendency, inclination to put our race, our blood over others. You can find it within Muslims, within Christians, within Jews, within Buddhists, within Hindus, within whites, within blacks. The supremacy of our race, of our city, of our culture, of our color. We have a tendency. It's hard to resist, very hard to resist. Quran says this is wrong. Now, am I trying to tell you that don't be proud of your nationality? No, no, this is not the point. You could be proud of your nationality. You could be proud of your language. You could be proud of your family. But you have to avoid bigotry and bias. If your family is not the best in terms of morality and ethics and conduct, then don't put them above others. If your race, if your city, if your village is not the best, then don't put them over others. Islam does not have a problem with you loving your country, but Islam has a problem with favoritism, with nepotism. The problem is here. When we know that some members of our families, our people, our community, they are bad, but yet we put them before others. We give a preference to them. This is discrimination. Islam is against discrimination. Not against one loving his country or his parents or his family. No, loving the country is part of your faith. To be a good faithful, you must love your country. You must defend your country. You must give to your country. You must protect your country. This is part of being a Muslim, being a good observant of religion. But don't be a bigot. Don't be racist. Try to have understanding and respect and tolerance for all. For all. Because at the end of the day, the best among us in the eyes of God, not in the eyes of the government, in the eyes of God, is the one who is most pious and most righteous. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The one who gives more, the one who sacrifices more, the one who's more generous, the one who's more giving. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Ahlan wa sahlan. This is the sunnah of the Prophet. These aspects are missing. These aspects, moral, spiritual aspects, are missing from the life of the Muslims today, unfortunately. These things are missing. One day an imam went to UCLA and he spent his entire sermon at UCLA teaching them how the Prophet used to brush his teeth. He spends two sermons. But he's not willing to teach them how the Prophet was tolerant, forgiving, loving, caring, how he treated his neighbors, how he treated his enemies in a good way, in a forgiving way. See? We focus on things that are irrelevant. Irrelevant. And we leave things that are very relevant and very important. We don't speak about them. This is the wrong way of preaching. We have to teach people first and foremost today that if you commemorate the Prophet, if you celebrate his life and his legacy, learn something positive from him. Learn how the Prophet, when someone used to dump the trash at the entrance of his mosque. It was his mosque, it was his headquarters, it was his office. It was his house too, because his house was inside the mosque. And the companions, they get frustrated and angry and they want to go after him and kill that person and crush him. The Prophet would say, no, leave him, leave him. He would learn a lesson one day, leave him. Until one day, he stopped. He didn't show up. That day he did not show up as usual. The second day he didn't show up. The third day the Prophet said, where is this man who brings us trash every day? They said, Ya Rasulullah, he's sick. He's bedridden. The Prophet said, after the prayers, we go and visit him. After the prayers, he went with a group of the Muslims to visit him. They knocked at his door. He came, he opened the door. He saw the Prophet and the companions. He said, Muhammad, you are here to kill me, to punish me. The Prophet said, no, I am here to visit you and say hello to you because we missed you for 3 days. He said, Muhammad, are you serious? Are you serious? After all what I did to you, you came to visit me and ask about me? He said, yes. He said, the man said to the Prophet, then this means that you are a true messenger of God. Ana ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Islam was victorious not through the sword, but through logic. Not through bombing others and killing others, but through respecting others, catering to others, and helping others, and guiding others, and being kind to others, and being tolerant to others. Therefore, in the community of Medina, the Prophet is very influential, very powerful. Very powerful, but yet you find some Christian communities, Jewish communities living there in Medina. He did not force them to accept his religion. He was tolerant. He understood them. This is what we need today. We need more understanding of each other. If we want to save the earth and save our communities and save the next generations, then we have to sacrifice. We need more understanding and more tolerance. Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulallah. Sallallahu alayka wa ala ahli baytika at-tayyibin at-tahirin. Today is the 28th of the month of Safar, the anniversary of the departure of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the Muslim Ummah. We salute our Prophet and we promise him. See, in every prayers we mention his name. In the adhan we mention his name. In the iqama we mention his name. In the tashahhud and salam we mention his name. What does that mean? It means we renew our allegiance to him. We tell him, not only we love you, but we follow you. Love means following. Love means obedience. Love means honoring him by following his tradition and his lifestyle. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وصل اللهم وسلم على خلفاء نبيك وأوصيائه وأهل بيته وأحبته علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سبط نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين عليهم السلام وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه عباد الله أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. There was an unfortunate incident in the Middle East, the earthquake that hit 7.3, I believe, that hit Iraq, the city of Halabja, But most of the damage happened in Iran, in the neighboring Iran, in the province of Kermanshah. We give condolences to the families of those who lost their lives and those who have been wounded, those who are in the hospitals now. And last night we collected some donations, and we welcome donations, and we try to do our best to get them to the right place at the right time, inshallah. So please, you can see Haj Samir, Haj Shamsuddin Shahidi and others. And if you are willing to help, then we will give the help, inshallah. And there was a picture that I saw yesterday. A lady, Iranian lady, were taken out from the rebels in one of these hardly hit areas. But she grabbed her hijab with one hand. While she was wounded, they are taking her from underneath the rebels. She kept the scarf on. And someone wrote something very beautiful. He said, Haya more important than Hayat. Haya, the honor of her, is more important than her life. And this is the case. This is the case with many Muslim women. For them, their honor, their dignity, their value is more important than life or death. God wants us to live with dignity. And we follow Imam Hussein, and the most important slogan, most important banner that was raised on the day of Karbala is Hayhat Minna Dhilla. Far too far from us, disgrace or humiliation. We must live with dignity. The other thing, other reflection on the earthquake. Many of the young generation, they ask, why this God who is so merciful and so, you know, compassionate, why does he allow these things to happen? Why? Why he does not stop that? Can he or he cannot? Definitely he can. But why he doesn't stop that? Why he allows sickness and to happen? Cholera in Yemen, more than 1 million people are, you know, afflicted with this disease. Why earthquake? Why poverty? Why these things? Why these things happen? Why God allowed them? My friend, all these things, all these natural disasters are part of us, part of our life. It's like someone who says, why God allows sickness? Through sickness, people learn. Definitely people learn. Why God allows failures? Can't all people be successful? Why do we see failures here or there in the family, in the school, in the company, in the business, in life? And because failure is part and parcel of the learning process. If we don't fail, we are not going to learn. We are not going to grow. This is part of our life. God says, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالْشَرِّ بِالْخَيْرِ وَالشَّرِّ فِتْنَةً وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Both success is a test, failure is a test as well. Good health is a test from God. Sickness also is a test from God. When you have good weather, it's a good test from God. When you have bad weather, when you have natural disaster, it's a test from God. We should not blame these disasters and the consequences of these disasters on God, my friends. We should not blame them on God. We should blame them on man. God is not responsible for the casualties. Even when an earthquake of a magnitude of 7.3 hits an area, we should not blame the disaster, the casualties, the death, the destruction on God. We should blame it on us. We should blame it on man's greed, on man's corruption. Yesterday there was an article in the New York Times, just yesterday. It says that there is a city called Islamabad. Any of those Iranians, they know this city, Islamabad al-Gharb. There was a hospital which is 40 years old. They built a new wing attached to this hospital. This new wing took about $15 million to be built. It took about 8 years to be built. It has more than 100 beds. In this recent earthquake, the old part of the building, the old part of the hospital, which is 40 years old, never sustained any damage. It was perfect, stood perfect. The new part, which took $15 million, and it is brand new wing, it collapsed. Why? Because of a bribery. Because they did not respect, they did not honor the construction code. And it says in the article that sometimes they purchase building permits can be purchased there through bribery. Because it is poorly built. This is not only in Iran. This is in most countries. It could happen here in America. It happened in Europe. It happened in Asia, it happened in Africa, it happened in India, it happened in Muslim countries, in non-Muslim countries. When we don't respect the rules and regulations and we try to cheat through our greed, through our corruption, through disrespecting the law of the land, this is what happens. And then we blame it on God. No, God says, وَالسَّمَاءَ رَفَعَهَا وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانَ. We created this universe based on mizan, based on discipline, based on organization, based on law. We want you to respect the law. If you respect the law, nothing will happen to you. Nothing will happen to you. In Tokyo, every day they have earthquakes. Every single day. And they have high-rise buildings and nothing happens. No casualty. Because they respect the law. When man respects himself, he respects the law. But if he does not have value for himself and his brothers and sisters, and he puts himself before others, he puts his greed, his tama' before others, these are the results. These are the casualties. I said in the first khutbah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his very first goal, is to respect humans, to respect their life, is to respect their dignity, is to respect their rights. If we respect each other's rights, we would live in happiness. We turn this life into paradise. But when we have greed, you saw what happened in America several years ago because of some greedy people. You know what happened to many of you? Many of you lost your properties. You lost your homes, you lost your livings. I went to Iceland. Iceland is a little, tiny, little country, only 300,000 people. Reykjavik is the capital. So the friend was showing me the prison. The prison is very, very small, like a house. I said to him, wow, this is very great. Your prison is very small. It means you don't have criminals. He says, we don't have criminals. The only people who are in this prison are bankers. Believe me. He said, we don't have common criminals here. No thieves, no murderers, no rapists. Those who are here in this prison are bankers because they are responsible for the collapse of our economy. So the government put them in jail. Sometimes it's because of the greed. When we have greed, we disrespect others. We put our maslaha, our interest before others. And this is what happens. And then we come and we blame God. Why God allows this to happen? God does not want to allow anyone to be wronged. No one to be wronged. But God says this life has a code, rules and regulations. You have to respect it. If you respect it, you protect yourself. If you don't, then don't blame it on me. Blame it on yourself. وَمَا ظَلَمْنَاهُمْ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلَمُونَ. We wrong no one. People wrong themselves. My friends, tonight we will continue at 7 p.m. inshallah, the second night of commemorating the departure of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tonight it's going to be in English, and tomorrow Saturday at 7 p.m. it's going to be in Farsi. And then next Thursday inshallah, we're going to commemorate or celebrate Thanksgiving dinner here, inshallah. So the program begins with dua kumail at 6:20, the prayers at 7. And then, inshallah, I'll give a brief speech so you can enjoy your turkey, inshallah, here next Thursday, inshallah ta'ala. And then Sunday, we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving, interfaith Thanksgiving session at a nearby church on Baker Street. It is 1701. It's easy to memorize. 1701, 1701, which is the United Methodist Church, at 7 p.m. on Sunday, and I am going to be one of the participants, inshallah. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat tabi' allahumma baynana wa baynahum bil khayrat innaka mujibud da'awat. Allahumma wahhid kalimatal muslimin ala al khayr wal bir was salah wat taqwa ya arhamar rahimin wa ajjil fi faraj sayyidina wa mawlana sahib al asr wal zaman وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.